Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us every Monday. We rebroadcast him during the week and also on the weekend. And good morning, Arthur. And how has your new year started off?
With a lot of tomatoes.
Hey, you got to get them while they're hot.
It's coinciding this year. I used to, in fact, speaking of the tomatoes, because that's all I'm going to talk about today is tomatoes. But I said that, and I remembered that in one of my demented modes, I decided that my grandmother's sour and sweet cabbage soup, which depends on tomatoes, was better made with fresh tomatoes because they intersected with the height of the cabbage season as well. Well, let me just say, my grandmother's recipe using canned everything was so much better than my version using fresh tomatoes. But that said, fresh tomatoes have changed in the last 10 years, I would say, as recently as that, meaning I can actually buy a decent tomato in the winter now. And I get them mainly from Mexico. But this is the height of the local season. And if you love tomatoes as much as I do, and crave the real deal, local, vine-ripened, sweet, really wonderful tomatoes that we can get right now, then you have to wallow in them because they won't be around for very long. And I use that word wallow because it comes from one of my mentors, Nika Hazelton, who, by the way, has a Sharon connection. You know about Nika Hazelton and Sharon? I have to tell you that someday. She was a Buckley person, and, you know, the Buckleys were from Sharon. So, and she wrote for the National Review. She wrote a non-political food column. And she always said, you know, when something comes into season, you've got to wallow in it, because the season is all too short. So tomatoes do have a short local season. They don't really get to be wonderful until August, and then they're gone by the end of September, beginning of October at the latest. That's, you know, green tomato time is when we still have tomatoes on the vine and we want to do something with them, but they haven't ripened yet. Meantime, right now, you can get fabulous cherry tomatoes, fabulous plum tomatoes, fabulous salad tomatoes. And a salad tomato, I say, is a round tomato or globular tomato. Cherry tomatoes, of course, are small tomatoes. And I use that word generically for all small tomatoes. I have been buying, for instance, it's a branded heirloom, in quotes, cherry tomato. I do believe these might be heirloom varieties. In every quart box, they're green, orange, some brown and red together, red, different shapes, round, pear-shaped, different. And they're all extremely sweet, but they also have extremely tough skins, I have learned. I'm paying $7 for a heaping quart basket, and I paid that at the fancy supermarket and at the ordinary supermarket. So, I don't know, some price fixing going on there. But $7, it's well worth it. It's a lot of tomatoes. And my last basket, by the way, there was one, like, normal tomato, I don't even know what to call it, a salad tomato, but not a salad tomato, at the bottom of the basket that I didn't know was there. It was like those crinkled Florentine tomatoes. Anyway, these are tomatoes that, with the tough skin, the only thing you can do with them, really, is cut them up and make a salad. I tried cooking them in other ways, and I'll tell you in a second how. But the skins are annoying. And as a raw tomato, diced up, it's a great tomato. So, speaking of dicing tomatoes, this is what changed my life vis-a-vis tomatoes. A tomato knife. In fact, we have multiple tomato knives in our house because it is Bob's, by far, favorite knife. In fact, I have to ask him, does he ever use anything else? And just the other day, I don't know how we got onto the subject of knives, my friend Suzanne, but she said, oh, you know, do you have a tomato knife? That's the knife that changed my life. Well, my tomato knife, at least where it comes to tomatoes, it has changed my life. It is a thin-bladed, serrated-edge knife. There are several, if not many, manufacturers. Wusthof, the big German brand. I have many Wusthof knives, and they're fabulous. They make one. But there are less expensive ones that are. I also have. I don't remember the name even. But, you know, it cost me maybe $40 at the time, a few years ago, the secondary brand. In any case, it has a tip, a sharp, sharp tip that you can use to core a large tomato. You don't have to core cherry tomatoes or even a plum tomato, otherwise known as a Roma tomato. You don't have to core those. But a salad tomato often has a large core where the stem comes out of, and it might be unpleasant underneath. So I always cut that out. On little tomatoes, you don't have to. So on like a big Jersey beefsteak tomato or even a Connecticut beefsteak tomato, you want to cut out the core. So those, by the way, are called cuore di bue, heart of the bull, basically, in Italian. Cuore, that's what we call a beefsteak tomato. They call the heart of the beef, the bue. Anyway, this knife makes it very easy to cut up cherry tomatoes. And I cut them, depending on their size, in half, quarters. So some of these are really like small plum tomatoes, and that I cut in half the long way, and then across three, so that you're getting six pieces out of this little tomato. It's an easy thing to do, and actually sort of fun thing to do for me, to make a tomato salad. And in the winter, I do the same thing, except that in the winter, you have to dollop the tomatoes. Now you don't have to dollop the tomatoes. They're, you know, just pop them in your mouth as you're cutting them up. They're so delicious. They're like fruit. Anyway, cut up the tomatoes. Now, in the winter, my main herb is oregano. It's dried. I don't have to go out and get it. It's always in the house. I have great oregano. So I season the cherry tomatoes with salt. And if you're doing this way ahead, you may want to leave off the salt, because what the salt will do is draw out the juices of the tomatoes. In some cases, I want the juices out of the tomato. I want it to be a little juicy, soupy. But, you know, for a salad, maybe, maybe not. You decide. But in the winter, I do put the salt on because it helps the flavor of the tomatoes. This time of the year, you've got these great tomatoes. Then raw garlic, which I mince very, very fine, and olive oil, and my really good extra virgin olive oil, and that's all. I don't put vinegar on my tomato salads, but Mr. Harned here will sprinkle some balsamic over his. He likes that. Many people like balsamic and tomato, and I see the appeal. It sweetens up an off-season tomato, but this season, I don't think so. I don't really want that on my cherry tomato salad. And I wouldn't use oregano this time of the year. I would use another herb. You know, of course, basil is the classic tomato go-to herb. But if you don't have parsley, it works very well. At least it's something fresh and green. And dill is great. I think I've said this before. This summer I have been dill addicted. I'm putting dill everywhere. And the one, this is, I thought, a fun little fact here. You know, Rachel Ray is of Sicilian heritage and often makes her mother's Italian-American food. But the other day she made a real Sicilian dish, pasta alla norma. And she did it, by the way, with cherry tomato sauce. And she used mint. And that is so garlic and mint. Believe it or not, is a very Sicilian flavor combination. And very often, where you think you should put basil, a Sicilian would put mint. Spearmint, by the way, is the go-to mint of the Mediterranean. So cherry tomatoes. What a, there's something I try. This is how I know that skins are too tough. The other day I made something I call smashed tomatoes. In fact, one of the working titles of my Southern Italian cookbook was Broken Spaghetti and Smashed Tomatoes, because you find broken spaghetti. In fact, I even saw it in New York here in Brooklyn just a few months ago. I saw a bag of what was labeled broken spaghetti by a major company. But you can buy broken spaghetti in the supermarket in southern Italy. And smashed tomatoes are cherry tomatoes cooked whole and then smashed down a little bit. Now, the way I do this is, and very Pugliese, you can, in Puglia, an antipasto bar or array will often include smashed tomatoes. But then again, you can also put them on pasta or on bread, bruschetta with smashed tomatoes, divine. Anyway, you put the, what I do is I split or with the heel of my hand crush slightly a couple large cloves of garlic and put them in a skillet large enough to, I'm assuming it's about a pint of tomatoes, and a skillet large enough to hold the tomatoes in one layer, more or less. So you judge the amount of oil. It's enough to cover the bottom of the pan, and usually I feel two cloves of garlic. And then cook the garlic over very low heat. You do not want it to brown. You want it to get soft, and you want to smush it into the oil a couple, four times as it's cooking, and you'll see it releases its garlic juice into the oil. And when they get tender, but not colored, add your tomatoes, which, by the way, should have, I rinse them off in a colander and put them in the pan drained, but still with water clinging to them. And cover the pan immediately. Put it over high heat, medium high heat, and shake the pan like, as if you were making popcorn. Get the tomatoes to roll around in the hot oil. Because you have moisture on the tomatoes and the pan is covered, keeping the moisture in, the garlic should not brown. If it does, you know, I'm going to have you keep the pan covered for literally 5 minutes, shaking the pan every once in a while. And when you uncover the pan, you should not have brown garlic. It could be golden, but it won't be brown. At that point, the tomatoes should be tender enough. You could take the back of your wooden spoon and smash them. And you can actually, sometimes, depending on the tomatoes and the kind of skin they have, you can smash them and leave them whole, and there'll be enough juices running out into the skillet to mingle with the garlicky oil. I'm getting hungry. And because I have some to make this today. The question is, do I make some pasta? Go off the diet. Only because I have these great tomatoes. But I'm not going to do it, because here's what happened. I did this the other day with these tomatoes, and it was literally too tough. So I ended up pureeing them with the food mill into a pan of peppers and onions that I already had cooked. I thought we were just going to have peppers and onions, which we love. And I, you know, that it's a good side for meat or chicken, but also I like making frittatas with peppers and onions. And I was going to save half of it for that. But then what I ended up doing is putting my cherry tomato puree in with the tomatoes, the peppers and onions, red peppers, and cooking it down a bit. Bob called it ambrosia. It really was sort of divine, because those tomatoes were so delicious. It took my normal peppers and onions to, as they say on the cooking shows, to a new level. I hate that expression. Why was I using it? Anyway, so speaking of a new level, I see this on TV as being a new thing, But, you know, there's a lot of things that young people think are new that go back to the ancient times. And certainly cooking down tomatoes to tomato paste or some kind of concentration of tomato is as old as time. I don't know. It's certainly, in fact, my friend, this is, I think, sort of fun. My friend Judy Witt Francini, who is, in fact, American, but has been living in Italy, I think, 30 years, 35 years. She's married to a Tuscan guy, and they live out in the countryside. And this is not something they usually do in Tuscany because they don't have the right weather for it. But it's been so hot this year, Judy was able to put her tomatoes out into the sun to get sun-dried tomatoes. Now, I have tried this in Brooklyn. It don't work. You have way too much humidity. Even on a low humidity day in the middle of the summer, it's still not a long enough dry, hot days to sun-dry tomatoes. You might question this and say, what about the bugs? Well, in Italy, they don't care about the bugs. I've seen figs being dried in the sun with covered in flies, and then they package them. Anyway, you can oven dry a tomato, and I did this just last week, and a friend asked me, oh, he said, did you let them get charred? And the answer was yes. So that's something I see on TV as a newish thing. I saw Ina Garten do it the other day as if it was a revelation. The only revelation about her recipe, which I would never ever use, is that she puts sugar on the tomatoes. I'm sorry. If they need sugar, you shouldn't be eating them. So I just have plum tomatoes. So this is a plum tomato time. The plum tomatoes are the Roma tomatoes, which are the same tomato that goes into a can of Italian tomatoes, except those are grown in Italy, so it does make a difference where the tomato grows. I do buy good Roma tomatoes, and I when I had all the space in the world, I used to put up tomatoes at this time of year, but the best I can do now is roast up some trays of tomatoes, and I can pack those in plastic and keep them in the refrigerator for at least a couple weeks. I guess I could freeze them, too, for sauce in the winter, but and I used to do that, too, because they do roasted tomatoes make a great pasta sauce. So I just have the tomatoes the long way, and I do it as simple as possible. I mince the garlic very, very fine, and I take pinches of garlic and sort of stuff it into the open cavity of the tomatoes with where the seeds are kept. Now, plum tomatoes, Roma tomatoes, are very pulpy, which is why we like them for sauce. You don't have to cook the sauce so long, and that's a good thing because the longer you cook the sauce, the more acidic, even bitter it can get. So in this case, I just put the minced garlic and, a few large cloves will usually be enough, very finely chopped, to cover a nice size a tray of tomatoes, meaning like a, 18 by 20-something inch, a tray of tomatoes. Yeah. And I don't even bother smearing the bottom with oil, but, you can do that. And I'll tell you why. Because as I drizzle oil over the tomatoes, usually enough, or I make sure there's enough, gets onto the bottom of the tray. Salt. So you have garlic, oil, and salt, and that's it. Put them in a 400-degree oven, even higher if you want to keep an eye on them. A 400-degree oven. It's going to take a good 45 minutes to an hour. They're not done. By me, they're not done until they really have collapsed and some of the bottoms have caramelized. And you can even see, as my friend called it, char on the bottom of the pan. That's good flavored char. And that's it. I would let them cool on the pan, and then you can scrape them off with a metal spatula and pack them in a plastic container, whatever. Even just put them out on a serving platter, and you can keep them in the refrigerator like that, too. Chop them up for pasta. Eat them just like that. I don't know. It's a treat of the season. Then there are what we call salad tomatoes. I call salad tomatoes the round tomato that you would slice up or wedge for a salad. To slice or to wedge? I don't know. It's a whim of the moment, I find. Certain things, like if I'm just doing a platter of tomatoes or a platter of tomatoes with mozzarella, otherwise known as a caprese salad.
You slice caprese. There, right? You slice there, right?
Well, I usually slice, yeah. And, you know, to make it look attractive, I overlap the slices of tomato with slices of mozzarella, and does not have to be, in fact, will not ever be buffalo mozzarella unless I'm in buffalo mozzarella country in Italy. Anyway, even up north in Italy, I would not eat buffalo mozzarella. It, for me, yeah, I'm spoiled. I'm totally spoiled. Cecilia, my dear friend, is a buffalo breeder, and we eat mozzarella. As she once said, somebody once said, oh, when was this cheese made? And she looked at her watch, and she said, about 3 hours ago. So that's how I want my mozzarella. So, no, but my butcher, who is from Calabria, makes his own what we call fior di latte mozzarella, meaning from cow's milk. And I know by touching it whether it's a refrigerated one, which is great for cooking but not eating like this, or one made that morning. And if it's made that morning, it's divine. So that's it. A little salt, pepper, olive oil, and basil, torn basil. And you've got a caprese. But I also make a tomato salad, Italian style, where I make wedges of tomato and toss them with red onion and basil and lots of olive oil and no vinegar. If you want vinegar, I'll put vinegar on the table if you want vinegar, but I don't want vinegar on mine. So you can always add vinegar, but you can't take it away. So if the tomatoes are the way I want them to be, I do not want vinegar. And here it is a moment where balsamic ain't a bad thing, you know, because it does marry well with tomatoes. I'm not a big fan of balsamic vinegar, and I'm sort of offended that even in Italy, when you ask for vinegar for something, they'll bring a bottle of balsamico.
If you make a tomato sandwich on a hard roll, a fresh hard
mayonnaise.
Roll. Mayonnaise. No. Also, that's the only time. That's the only time I use balsamic vinegar. The only time.
Yep. I can see that, but I want mayonnaise on my tomato sandwich.
Mayonnaise and salt and pepper.
Salt, pepper. Actually, I love mayonnaise enough to have a mayonnaise sandwich without the tomato. But I really am craving bread much more than I am any other carbohydrate. So I have allowed myself some sandwiches along the way. And the Italian hero that they make in my local pizzeria is excellent. But I have to tell them to leave off the balsamic. And then when I get it home, I put my own vinegar on it. I've gotten very particular about vinegar. And I'm now buying a 7% acidity red wine vinegar from Italy because I find if it's a higher acidity, you use less on your salad, and it makes for a less liquid, less watery salad dressing. Now, I don't like a overdressed salad very much, but I do use a substantial amount of vinegar. We do like a tart salad. So I'm way off the traditional proportions of one part oil to, I mean, let's say 1 tablespoon of oil and 1 teaspoon of vinegar. No, we have to have more vinegar than that, than the 1-to-3 ratio. So anyway, not on tomatoes for me, but the oil is essential. In fact, I noted this morning that I'm running low on olive oil, which never happens to me. But we've been using so much oil that, not just on tomatoes, but on this diet, that I need to go get more oil. But so here's something that I've been meaning to do with these cherry, they're really sweet tomatoes, is this is a little cocktail go with that I learned from James Beard. I'm not exaggerating 70 years ago. Can't be 60 years ago, ago. I was a teenager. I was in a book called Menus for Entertaining. And you took cherry tomatoes and on toothpicks and dipped them into vodka. And then dip them into an appropriate spice, like cumin, or, you know, could even just be like a salt and pepper mix would be good, too, to be honest with you. Could be nice sort of crunchy salt with ground pepper in it, mixed. I don't know why my mind keeps going back to allspice, but it does. That might work, too. I don't know. You know, I think you this is where you got to be creative.
I take every once in a while a big beefsteak tomato. I'll cut it in half. I'll scoop it out, and I'll take what I scooped out, and I'll mix some crispy bacon and some lettuce and a little bit of mayonnaise, and I'll put it back in, and it's like having a BLT without any bread.
That's it. I have been doing that, actually, not what you just said. But the combination of BLT with no bread, yeah, it's you know what, bread adds.
It does. It really does.
Add something to the mix. Yeah. And like my Italian hero, you know, all the things that are inside it, I'm allowed on my diet. Maybe not in such large quantities come in the zero, but the bread is the it makes it all worthwhile.
Yep, yeah. It makes all the difference.
Yeah. Got to say, bread is the staff of life. And I should treat myself to a, now that I talked about it, a sliced tomato and mayonnaise sandwich. And actually, I keep meaning to do this, and I was going to do it today. I think I mentioned this a number of months back, that I'm into making cheese souffles.
Yep.
And so I have the ingredients, but it always calls for one egg white more than egg yolks. So what do you do with the extra egg yolk? You make mayonnaise. So if I make my own mayonnaise today, I could have my own mayonnaise on, and I really will have it on white bread. Or a crusty white roll, I could do that, like a Kaiser roll.
Do you like to toast the bread to have a tomato sandwich as well?
No, I don't have to. Yeah. Actually, at this point, I really want the. I did dream of toast the other day when I was eating scrambled eggs. I want it to be squishy, like it was when my mother made it on Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread, my God.
Yeah, I don't get these. I don't get hamburgers, for instance, on pretzel rolls.
No.
I mean, a pretzel roll is a tough bit of bread. I don't want my hamburger on a tough bit of bread. I want my hamburger on a squishy roll. It's just the thing to hold it, really.
And if you just grill the bottom of the roll, it stays together perfectly. A regular hamburger roll. When you eat hamburgers, if you just heat it up,
yeah,
a little bit and brown it, you don't need a
strong. An English muffin is only 24 grams of carbohydrate. Now, I am a very low carb person, but I could do that once in a while.
All right.
And the bun, I think, is more.
Yeah.
But I do like burgers on English muffins.
All right.
In that case, well toasted.
Yeah. The tomato was the star this morning.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm surrounded. I'm not sure you are. This is tomato season.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Let me say that one of the great things about being a food journalist is that you always have a new season of food to write about. If I need something concrete, it's there. If I want something that's just off my head, I can do that too. But it's really great to be able to talk about something concrete. And so it's little peppers last week, tomatoes this week. I don't know, what's next week? Next week I might mention, although I am doing it now, that I'm seeing a lot of asparagus from Peru. And I bought some. And they were terrific. So I have a new view. I mean, I've been eating Peruvian asparagus for a number of years now, but not because they've been not good. But this year, for some reason, they are. So I'm not going to do asparagus in September. Don't worry. Squash.
Right. Squash, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
Listen, I was a food editor for over 30 years. I mean, print. I had that was the easiest part of the job is, oh, what's on the calendar this month?
All right.
All right. Take care, guys, and eat your tomatoes while they're there.
All right, Arthur. Have a great week. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here this morning on Robinhood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.